Once again, I had a different message I was going to preach this morning that the Lord changed, not at the last minute like he's done the last couple times, but on a Thursday after we had a funeral on Thursday, and I was driving home after actually after a prayer meeting Wednesday night, and the Lord just sort of almost like a fog lifted, and he doesn't speak to me. I'm not like Oral Roberts or anything like that. I don't think he speaks to Oral Roberts either, but it's just he just sort of spoke in a still quiet voice in my heart. It's Lord's Supper Sunday morning. Why don't you just preach a gospel, simple gospel message? And I was reading the book of Romans, and that verse in 15, chapter 1, where it says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you." Now, Paul adds to you that are at Rome. But I never get tired of preaching the gospel. And I hope you never do either. Because I like to give good news. I've always envied doctors that were able to come in after a surgery and say, "Hey, we did everything we needed to do, and you're well on the road to recovery." I always envied dentists that were able to come and look at the X-rays and say, "No cavities. Your teeth are in good shape." I always envied a policeman that could come up and say, "Well, I'm just going to give you a warning today, not a ticket." And I've always envied those lawyers that could come up and say, "Hey, your long-lost Uncle Henry died, and he left you $1 million. I've always wanted to be able to do that to somebody. The closest I've come in the everyday world to doing that is being able to call people in and say, "Hey, we're promoting you to another position, or we're giving you a raise." But then I got to thinking, you know what? I get to deliver good news every single week. I get to deliver good news every time I stand before you, because that's what the gospel is, good news. And again, I know that most of us are this morning are saved, but I think about that last verse of that song that we sang about, "I love to tell the story to those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory we sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme and glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love." And I'll be honest with you, I don't know any better news than that. Jesus loves you. I don't know. I don't think any policeman, doctor, dentist, or lawyer could deliver any better news than to remind you that Jesus loves you. The Son of God, the Creator of the universe, the one that holds it all together, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God loves you. And I wonder how many times, standing behind in this place, behind this pulpit, I've said those words, "Jesus loves you." And I was thinking Wednesday night as I was driving home, how many more times am I going to get to say to you, "Jesus loves you"? And so this morning, not a deep sermon, but I want to remind you what the love of Jesus does for us. You know, we call the first four books in the New Testament the Gospels, but there's a lot of gospel in the book of Romans. And I picked some verses out of the book of Romans, and I have five or six things I want to remind you of this morning about what the gospel is all about, what the good news is, what the love of Jesus does for us. And again, it ought to cause us to rejoice. Hey, I know there's a lot of things going on. There's things that you have on your heart and mind. Loved ones are sick. Loved ones face surgery. And there's all sorts of things going on in your life this morning. But you need to remember more than anything else that there is a God in heaven that loves you. There's a God in heaven that sent his Son to die for you. And that verse, and I may preach that sermon I heard this week, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice," because you can have joy because of what Jesus did for us. 6 points. Number one, God will clean up our record. You see, the record that's kept in heaven of all of our sins, everything that we've done that we're not supposed to do, everything that we were supposed to do and didn't. And I like what, and I think Brother Leonard brought it out in his lesson this morning. I like the Sunday school lesson this morning that said, hey, we're not just responsible for the commandments of God, but we're responsible for the things that God doesn't command us but wants us to do because we love Him. And all of those sins that I've committed, God records in heaven. But when Jesus died for me and I received Him as my Savior, He took the list of my sins and He wiped them all off my record. I mean, every sin, the ones that I committed when I was a 16-year-old boy and the ones that I committed yesterday as a 50-something old man, every single one He has wiped off my record. In the book of Romans chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered." What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We pictured it in the Lord's Supper this morning. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. And I'm glad. The good news is to me today and ought to be to you that I've got a God that took my sin record and covered every single one of them with the blood of Jesus Christ. But not only that. I mean, the good news doesn't stop there. It goes on. Not only does He wipe my record clean, but He makes it as if I never sinned in the first place. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, it says, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification." That word justification means He makes me just as if I've never sinned. Just as if I never committed one sin. Just as if I've obeyed every commandment. Just as if I've done everything that God wants me to do. You see, if you could go to heaven this morning and you could look at my record in heaven, you won't find a page where there's stuff written down and then crossed off. Won't find that. I'm glad you can't look at it, by the way, but you won't find sins that have been erased. You know how you erase something? You can see the mark, and sometimes you can still read the indent in the paper. You won't find anything that's been erased. You won't find anything that's been crossed out. You won't find any holy whiteout on my record in heaven. I mean, God doesn't take that bottle of white out and say, okay, Daryl got saved, so I need to white out all these sins. No, if you could go to heaven this morning and look at the record of my life, you would find a clean, white page of whatever God writes on. I was going to say paper, but you would find a clean, white page empty of any sin. And when God looks at that page, He says, hey, there's a guy who never sinned because I am justified. I am made in God's sight just as if I've never sinned. Boy, that's good, isn't it? It is good. The good news doesn't stop there. Let me give you another piece of it. God will not add another sin to my record. I mean, it says in Romans chapter 4, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." You see, I don't need to tell you this, but I'm not perfect. Brother Cliff, I know you find that hard to believe. Nobody else does, but I know you don't either. I'm not perfect. I'm going to sin probably today. And I'm going to sin tomorrow. And you can be sure God will see it. But that verse tells me that He's not going to add it to my record. That pure white page that I have because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior is going to stay pure and white. Nothing's going to be added to it. Because Jesus not only died for every sin that I've already committed, He died for every sin I will commit. By the way, when He died, every sin that I was going to commit was in the future. When I got saved, He took care of all the ones in my past. He also took care of all the ones in my future. And God will never, you say, well, yeah, I have a problem with that Baptist belief. That just gives you a license to sin. That just gives you the ability to go out and do anything you want. Paul dealt with that in Romans chapter 6 when he said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Paul says, look, we're dead to sin. We have a new being that's in us. All things are become new when we got saved. Now, yes, we're going to make mistakes, but we don't live in sin. And God, praise him, is not going to add any to my record. It's going to stay clear. It's going to stay free from sin. But it doesn't stop there. You see, God will not add any sin to my record, but he will add something to my record. He will add the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Boy, I tell you, this gets good. Hey, he's taken my record. He's cleaned it. He's made it as if there never was a record. He says, I'll never add any sin to it. What I will add to it is all the goodness of Jesus Christ. His kindness, his truthfulness, his compassion, his obedience. You just go on down the list. You think of whatever you think of when you think of how Jesus lived his life on this earth. His being good to the little children. Him taking care of the sick and afflicted. Him that provided comfort for those that wept. I mean, just go down the list. Think of how Jesus behaved, how he acted, how he was obedient to the will of the Father when he was here on earth. And that's exactly what God adds to our record. You see, if I could go up to heaven this morning and I could look at Dave's record in heaven, I wouldn't find one mention of him falling asleep in church. Amen to that, right? Not one mention of it. But what I do find on his record is all the good things that Jesus did. And when I look at any of your, if I could go and look at any of your records, if you could look at mine, you would not find out what we messed up on. There's no eraser marks. There's no cross out marks. It's a clean white page with the righteousness of our Savior written there. Good news. Good news, but it doesn't stop there. The Bible says also in the book of Romans, number 5, that our God comes to live with us. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Holy Spirit of God, Brother Earl, dwells in you this morning. I mean, the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in every single Christian this morning. I mean, God, we have God. Listen, sometimes we don't think of the Holy Spirit as God. We think of God the Father who sits on his throne. We think of God the Son who died on Calvary. There's a third part of God that's just as much God as the Father is, just as much God as the Savior is, and that's the Holy Spirit. And you have him with you, and I have him with me every moment of every single day. He lives with us. God, the Creator. The one that spoke the world into beings. He lives with us every single day. We have his Spirit. But there's more. It doesn't stop there. We're God's children. One day we'll go to live with him. In Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now just let that sink in for a second. You're a child of God. A joint heir with everything that he has. One day, we're going to go live with him. You know, I don't know. I sort of hope in heaven that we're going to be able to go back and see the stories that are told in the New Testament. I don't know if we will or not. But I would like to see the story of Enoch. I would like to see him, you know, that son, Methuselah, that was going to be born, or not Methuselah, he wasn't, but when he got that message that the flood was coming, and when his son, he was the father of Methuselah, wasn't he, Enoch? Am I getting my story straight? I think he was. Enoch was the oldest man that lived, and Methuselah was the oldest man that lived, and when he died, the flood was going to come on the earth. And Enoch was his father. And for 65 years, Enoch lived. And then he got this message from God saying, hey, you're going to have a son. And when he dies, judgment's going to come. And the Bible says for 300 years after that, Enoch walked with God. And the part of his story I'd like to see is that day that they were walking together. And God said to Enoch, Enoch, I want you to come home with me today. And I look forward to sitting down with Enoch and saying, Enoch, what went through your mind when God said that? I mean, when God, who you'd walk with 300 years, said, Enoch, I want you to come home with me today. What thoughts went through your mind? I can only imagine how much joy, how much happiness he had when God took him by the hand and said, come with me. You know what? God's going to do that to every single one of us someday. It may be when we cross that river of death and God says, hey, come on home. Come on home. It may be when the trumpet sounds and we rise to meet him in the air. He says, come on home. But one day, every single person that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior is going to hear that invitation. Come on home. Come on home. Come on home. That's where Jesus is today. He's preparing you a place. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I don't know any simpler way to say it. I don't know of any better news. I think this is better news than me telling you $1 million. I think this is better news than me telling you that every sickness and disease from the earth has been cured. The news that God wipes every sin from our record. He makes our record just as if we'd never sinned. He adds not one sin to it. He adds the righteousness of Christ. He lives with us, and one day we're going to go live for him. Now, do you know that this morning? Is it yours? I mean, is that describe your life this morning? It should. And if it doesn't, you can get it. And I've told you how 100 times you admit that you're a sinner. You believe that Jesus died for you, and then you come and take him as your Savior. You come and take him as your Savior. That's all. He'll take you just like you are. Not turning over a new leaf, not being good. He'll take you just like you are. And I'll tell you what, I'm glad he took me just like I was. I'm glad I didn't have to live up to some standard. I'm glad I didn't have to do some great deed, pay some amount of money. I'm glad he took me just like I am. And I'm on my way to heaven this morning because I know Jesus as my Savior. And I hope every single person in this room has that same testimony. If you don't leave this morning without him. Don't walk out those doors without knowing for sure that Jesus is your Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful, sweet, simple story of how much you love us. Every time I think about that, I'm amazed that God would love me. I say with the psalmist, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou considereth him? And I can't understand it, but I'm so glad it's true. You love me. You love us. And you sent your only begotten son to die for us. And Father, I pray if there's just one person here this morning that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, today would be the day they decide to make that decision and receive Christ. They quit trying to take care of their sins in some other way, but they would come by the way of the cross and let the blood of Christ cleanse them from every sin. Father, I pray for the Christians that are here. Help us to never lose the awe and the wonder of our salvation. Help us to never take it for granted. Help us to never cheapen it by failing to remember the price that was paid. And I pray that every first Sunday when we have the Lord's Supper, and every time we hear the gospel, our heart would be touched and we would just be so grateful for what you've done for us. Father, bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.